I'm calling the meeting to order December 9th, 1990, our Christmas meeting of CCHA. If you haven't gotten a seat, please take one. Today, Jerome Wyman will lead us in the invocation.
Just, if you will, remain seated. Should have hurried up here a little bit. I'm a little out of breath, but I'd like to ask you to remain seated, and this will be a little different format than the usual invocation, but I'll assure you we will wind up and praising God at the end. In September of 1844, when the first settlers camped on the other side of the creek here at Medina River on a rainy night, and then they crossed over the next day and cut brush, and then they really crossed over to establish around September the 3rd the original Castro colony here. They used that brush to help make a makeshift brush arbor chapel, realizing that they had to thank God for bringing them this far from their homeland and to set the home for their permanent settlement. While they were building the church arbor, they also built a commissary. Historians are not sure which was finished first, but they were moving along at the same time where they could store their food. In addition, they planted a garden. Within the first 2 weeks, they already had their garden started. Now, I say this in prelude to what we're next going to show you, and Bertha will explain a little later in the program. I am not the program, but Bertha Bowen will tell you a little bit more about this graphic here. It's a picture, and I know you can't see it from where you are. We'll make it available for you to see a little bit later. It's been duly translated, and I mean she must have really worked on this with her assistant. But we want to thank today Hilde Cook Mecker. Hilde, where are you? Would you raise your hand? Here you are. Raise a little higher, so stand up so we can see Hilde. And her assistant, who helped her in the translation of this romantic German, and maybe Herbert Billhartz would like to read this if he hasn't already, was Annalisa Martin, who also did the typing. And Bertha will, as I said, mention this later. But the graphic says up here at the top, recollection of the great distress and privation of the year 1846-1847. So while these settlers were here establishing the colony at Castroville, there were others over there who were soon to undergo a famine, the great famine of 46-47. I will not take time to point out each place where they are, but I'm using this as an illustration that through thick and thin, these people never lost faith in God. They said such things in slogans and mottos and entreaties on these banners and everything. It says, thank the Lord, for he is friendly and his kindness lasts forever. Let us step before his throne with thanks and exalt him with praise. Praise the Lord, my soul, and do not forget the good things he has done for you. The land gives us its bounty and he blesses us, God our Lord, quoting in Psalms. Everything that breathes, praise the Lord. Now all thank God. The Lord is kind to all and takes pity on his creation. You who adorn the grape and reeds, let us praise with an inspiring psalm. I'll be looking for your love. All kindness, Father, comes from you. What we sowed and planted grew because your hand gave your blessing. Father in heaven, you granted prosperity that we can rejoice in the golden harvest. At the bottom of this picture is a legend which relates to the privations that these people suffered while in Europe that was so terrible because of the decay of the potatoes, and it gives the price of the bushels of corn and wheat and barley and so forth. Now, instead of summarizing the poems that are on the left-hand side and the right-hand side, the continuous poem, and and because Hildy and Annalisa went to so much trouble in translating this for us, it'll take a minute and a half to read this poem, if you'll bear with me. Listen to our thanks, O faithful Lord, for your rich blessings. You helped us in our time of great need and gave us sunshine and rain. Yes, your generous fatherland gave riches to our starving land. To you, Lord, we give praise and honor. Hard were for us these difficult times, with worries where to find our food, and thousands ask themselves each day, where will we get our daily bread? We see no end to our misery, as God deserted us completely. In this our need, we cried for you, whom many brazenly had forgotten, and with blasphemous presumption had renounced in their delusions. This is the whip of your punishment, which hunts the lost sinner until it's found him. But then you heard the people's entreaty, and now you look down friendly upon us. And after we have seen your anger, you, Lord, forgave our guilt of sin and showed us your grace and mercy and nourished many millions. You are near us with your help. We are already binding the sheaves of grain. How beautiful the corn stands in the field. We won't be hungry anymore. They offer us new bread already. So thank and thank again the Lord who gives us all our riches. The trees are bent with all the fruit, as never in 100 years. The grapevine is so full of grapes, as an Ulster has ever seen before. You crown the year with your abundance. It is your finger which does it all for us who don't deserve it. We lift our eyes to the sky and thank you for all the gifts which, after all our misfortunes, we have received from you. Thank you on your ethereal throne, who in his hands he carries either the horn of plenty or the lightning. Let us enjoy the blessings that you gave us as you would wish us to do it, and let us not close our hearts to the poor. Let this be the thanks we offer you, God of love, God of power, give reverence to our Lord. Shall we stand in prayer now? Almighty God, at this juncture of Thanksgiving and Advent, we look to the power of constant prayer through thick and thin. We pray for forgiveness, for the thanksgiving of the food supply from farm and ranch to our tables. We pray also for the repose of the souls of our early settlers, for an eternal rest of all those departed descendants of pioneers, especially those servants recently called, including Carlene and Raymond, Francis, and others of our entreaties in our own hearts. We pray especially for peace on earth, for men and women in the armed forces, for political wisdom of leaders throughout the world. Let us be children again at this special season of the Advent and the near Christmas, as we celebrate the Père Noël or St. Nicholas and even Santa Claus. See us safely home this night, filled with the warmth of love, fellowship, family ties, and belonging. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jerome.
Well, I want to welcome all of you here today. It's so nice to see you and so many visitors. Let me see, who are the visitors today? And would you raise your hand? Great. Who are you? Your name, please?
Pat Eisman. She has just enjoyed
with
our group. Yeah, I was going to say, come to the microphone. Pat, if you were saying, this is Pat Eisen. She has just restored the Bommel or the Judge Newman home, and it's just lovely. We're so happy to have someone in the community to save the building.
Thanks, Pat.
Over here, in the wheelchair is Mrs. McIntosh. Her husband is a gifted person that can take any language and make a written language of it. And he's been so interested in Castroville, I mean years ago, when he was still working down in South America, writing the language for people that were in the little villages who had no idea of such a thing as a written language. And I'm sure you will enjoy going over and speaking to Mrs. McIntosh.
Hey, welcome. And we'll give you a glass of wine after a while. So welcome to Mr. Romano. Any other new members, visitors? Welcome, how are you?
Another R.
Another R, huh?
Yeah, my
daughter
is the
next
today.
Sharon Humphrey. Oh, Sharon, welcome.
I'm taking back
your life. Oh, don't think about it, just do it.
It's the time, you don't lose it.
Right, and I saw some other visitors here.
I'm Sharon
Newhouse.
This is my
husband, Margaret,
and we're
from the Oh, great. Welcome, and thank you for being here. Anybody else? Well, so happy to have you here. Anybody else a visitor today?
I brought my wife this time.
Yes, I remember you. Oh, well, I'm glad she did. Good. Anybody else visiting? Well, so glad to have you here today. Well, we do have one person that we should sing happy birthday to today. Agnes Obinger, 94 years old. What, day before yesterday? Oh, Agnes, my goodness, did we all look as good as you do? And Ann Davis, you had a birthday this week? No? No, well, we didn't have a meeting. Happy birthday. Anybody else have a birthday this week? If not, you're not 94, but are you?
54.
Okay. Happy birthday. Well, good. All right, now we'll get down to business. The minutes from our last meeting. If you had your newsletter, as we've been doing, if you read your minutes, do I hear a motion for the minutes to be approved as printed? Oliver, thank you. Is there a second?
I see.
Thank you, Mary Bell. We will then accept the minutes as printed, Elaine. Treasurer's report, Joseph.
The closing balance at the last meeting was $4,383. If y'all don't mind, I won't talk about pennies. The income in this quarter was from dues $200. And I'm about the body with details. I want to talk about books a minute. I could have lumped this, but I think y'all should know the activity that goes on in book sales, so I'll read them individually. Cookbooks in this quarter, 50 of them were sold at $509. Wall book, $15 at $150, Soul Book 1 at $35, French Book 2 at $39, Sister Generosa Book 6 at $60. Let's Celebrate, and that's the day it come off the press, $25 for $250, and then there's some bags and print that Ethel Rowley provided, floating $37. Under miscellaneous from the Medina County Fair was $40, memorials was $70, and bank interest was $43, for a total of $1,435. Expenses lumped under administrative is $67. That was for post office box rent and booth rent here at Castroville and the Texas history book. I mean, a subscription. Anyway, it was $67. Money's transferred from our checking account to the memorial fund was $55. Quarterly meeting expenses, $239. That covered two quarters. There's some for both quarters in there. Postage, paper, supplies, and printing was $87. And transfer from the checking account to the investment account, $2,000. That shows an expense of $2,448, leaving a checking balance of $3,370. Now, other assets in four investment accounts add up to $36,757. Adding those two together, the checking account and the investment account together, as of today, we got, as of this report, we've got $40,127. Just a comment, activity that come in since the last, since the 1st of December, is $90 dues, but what I wanted you to know, book sales brought in another $1,038 since the 1st of December.
Thank you, Joseph. You can tell somebody's been busy. We're growing, so we've got to pretty soon start thinking what we're going to do with some of this money, you all.
Corresponding Secretary Billy, do you have any correspondence to handle?
I want to thank Billy and Herbert for producing such a nice newsletter for November. Thank you very much. I would like to bring you up to date on our board meeting. We met November the 1st. We discussed several items, among which we gave a list of possible historical site awards. We had the program chairman's report. We authorized the purchase of more style books, the Indian Fighter books. We discussed the marketing and the price setting of the Let's Celebrate, our new book, which we're quite proud of. We also appointed chairpersons for the Castroville and Hondo Christmas Festival, which I think were quite productive. We also, the PR chairman, our public relations chairman, submitted an outline of upcoming publicity for the new book and the meetings, and we've gotten very good publicity, even in San Antonio this time. We had a nice story about our book in Wednesday's Light and Today's Express. And then we unanimously approved a $500 reward for the arrest and indictment a person or persons responsible for the vandalism and desecration of the cemetery here in Castroville, the St. Louis Cemetery. That offer will expire on January 31. So we hope we might give that $500 away. Other committee reports, Ways and Means. Dorothy, if you
thank you, Joe. Told me about motor sales.
Could you come over?
I didn't mean to steal your report.
I'm thinking I'm going to need two assistants to mail all these books we have. Just in 2 or 3 days, we had orders for, many of the Let's Celebrate and the one French book and some of the other books. And everybody wants them by Christmas, so hope with me that the Hondo Animal Herald is going to finish our book. He told you how many we sold at the county fair, and at the Christmas in Pasterville, we sold $997 worth of books. And then in Hondo, they sold a total of, is that 400 books? And at the autograph party, we sold 25 of the Let's Celebrate. And it was such a nice party, the book signing party. If you missed it, you missed something very nice. And the wall book, we would like to encourage you to buy if you do not have it. It's one of the best histories on Pasterville. I sold out on the Indian fighters last week, but they've already sent me another 12, so if anybody needs an Indian fighter, I have those also.
Good. I might explain what she was referring to on the Let's Celebrate. The books we have are what we have at the moment for sale, and after that we have to wait till the next supply comes. So our printer didn't quite come through for us today. But I can assure you we'll have books for you, and we will take orders, and if you live in Hondo, we'll have someone there where you can pick them up. If you live in Castro, the same thing, and in San Antonio, I will be responsible for them if you don't get your book today. Membership, Aline?
You've had 266 members as of the end of this 1990. And I would say we've had about 50 or 20 new members for 1991 already.
I think that's very good.
Great. I think so. It's very good.
Well, folklore, Lucy, where are you? Please come forward, Lucy. I can't tell you how much this means to me to have this book finished today. Lucy has worked so hard all year. Come forward, Lucy. If you've had a chance to look at this book at all, you know that we are using the quilt. And let me see. The quilt box with the quilt. And tucked away among family keepsakes is a treasured item, a piece quilt. Almost every family has one. Each quilt has a story to tell. And this book is meant to be our quilt to the past. Lucy, I couldn't find a real quilt box, but I did find a little box. And inside,
oh, a little quilt.
For all the work that we've done, we had to give her something special.
Well, I think that the people who worked on the book need to stand.
Thank you. Well, I think the people who worked on the book need to stand. Glendora did the artwork. And Aline did the typing. Bertha, Ethel, Lucy, Clint Jaggi and Irene Marshall have both died since we began working on the book, but they helped with the writing. And Blackie and the Burgesses.
Better look, I forgot. The people from the Lutheran Church helped with some of the music. And the Myers let us use their equipment, and we Aline spent worlds of time. I spent lots of time. Aline spent 10 times the time in the Myers office with the machine. Did I pick anybody? I believe that's all. Blackie and Mudgy, I don't see you, did you say it?
Yeah.
Blackie helped with some of the vocabulary, and I believe that's all. Thank you. Now, if our artists, Glendora Spanish and Aline, if you would come forward. I am proud of this little gal. I committed her to do the artwork. This is my sister. She's always been the artist in the family. So, Glendora, without your artwork and your cheerful willingness to preserve your heritage, I want you to have a little something for your Christmas tree. In the book, there is an unfinished Christmas tree that you need to finish, but here is one for finished. So we're real pleased that she would do this. Aline? Poor Aline. I know that she is glad to have this typing done. Now, Aline, with your patience and expertise and love of your heritage, let's celebrate it. It's now a reality. And with sincere appreciation to you, I know Aline felt like going here many times during this last few months, especially a few weeks.
Oh.
But I brought a little church for her. Yes, Lucy, we can come forward just a minute. We'll get a picture of the
everybody.
These folks work so hard. So I think every home needs one of these. Let's celebrate. Any old business? Any new business? All right. Well, today is our big Christmas celebration in Bertha. I'd like for Bertha to come forward. Bertha's done such a great job this year on programs. We need to give her a hand.
Before I start, I want to tell you what Jerome had asked me to talk about. The recollections of the years of 1846, 1847. Last year, when the Alsatians came over to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the 20 Lucy Hens and meterings, which had taken place in the Hens law. The first year was in Alsace, but when they came over, it was 79, so it was the 10th year. Marjan Singer brought with her this parchment, as you see here, the people cut out there. And she said, "I just saw this in a store, and I thought perhaps you people out here might be interested in it because it's the years just when our people were coming over. Of course, they started maybe a year or so before that, but I think you can understand, too, why some war came over between 1846 and 1847 when the famine was going on and all the other reasons. So some of you, I had made copies last Christmas, and some of you purchased a copy, and we promised you a translation. And if you're here today, come over to the table and get your copy of the translation of that document. If there are, I brought two extras along, and should anybody else want to purchase one, I'll just come to the table. I think, I can't remember, we charged $1.25 or $1.50. We had a random off at Kinkle's last year, so I'm not sure. So something like that. And now for today's program. As you saw in your book, it's entitled Festive Foods. And at this time of the year, we're expecting many things, but I think we also are looking forward and expecting to the a lot of good food that we're going to eat at Christmas time and New Year's. So I think when we think back to the foods that we eat at this time of the year, or we have eaten, we think about the delicious desserts, don't you? I think about that more than vegetables anyway. So. Today, the program is going to be given to you by Lucy and Charlie and whomever they have asked to be on the program. And they will talk to you about tell you about some of these festive foods that we have enjoyed through the years. And the musical part will be given a little later by Charlie and Lucy's son and his daughter, David, Steve and Noel. And so I will just stop with this today, thank them for coming, for taking it over, and we'll turn it over to Lucy now, who will MC the rest of the program.
When Bertha talked to me about the festive foods, I thought, oh, gee, that's simple. I cook all the time, and I try to make it very festive, or plain old tub food, especially after having raised four boys. You just the sort of festive make a big pot of stew or something. You try to make it festive. But today we really are going to try to do something with some of the different things that we have in, or that you have in your refrigerator, believe it or not. But so here we start. And so, in other words, to have a festive evening, we have to have a festive table. So we start with a festive tablecloth. So then the table looks rather bleak without a centerpiece. So we have to have a centerpiece. And so today we're very fortunate. The Burgess Nurseries have provided us with our centerpiece. This is a rosemary tree. So it is edible. Rosemary. I knew he'd do it wrong.
Where are you picking up?
So when you walk by it, be sure and smell it, because it's the herb rosemary, and you can use it with so many things. So be sure that you come by and give it a good smell, and maybe you meet a little bit of it. So then, of course, I knew he'd butt in sooner or later. So then, of course, now we have our table ready. So then again, we've got to have, let me see, now we have to have a cookbook. And what better one than our Castro Colonies Heritage Cookbook? And quite a few of the things that we've used today are in, recipes are in our cookbook. And so here we are. If you don't have one, be sure that you buy one, because there are just oodles of good festive recipes in it. So then, now we get down to the chefs. And Medina County has some fantastic chefs. We have Chef Maribel there. Would you please stand, Maribel? We have Chef Yvonne Sheerhart. And she's a super cook. And Chef Charlie, everybody knows Chef Charlie. But he also had Chef Mutzi behind him. So that makes him a good cook. So Maribel is going to be the first on the program. So Chef Maribel, it's all yours.
She better not ask my husband what kind of a chef I am. He thinks she's never at home to fix anything. But they tell me to talk about Annie's cookies. And really all I knew about Annie's was that came in a little bottle and had to buy it at a pharmacy, because if you didn't, you bought it at the grocery store, you'd never get the same effects that you get when you get anise oil or oil of anise. So I looked up in the encyclopedia, because I didn't know anything about it, and it says anise is a plant, Pimentelli antim, of the parsley family, native to Mediterranean countries, but easily grown anywhere in mellow soil. Aromatic seed, any seed, used as flavoring and in medicine. So I was told that what is Christmas without anise? Anise is one of the oldest used herbs. It is used as a flavoring by the French, German, the Italian, and in our area by the Mexicans. Anise is native to the Mediterranean area, grows wild, but is easily cultivated. It is easy to see that the anise seeds made this way, made their way into France and into Germany, really through the Alsatian area. It was highly desirable as a flavoring and also for its curative powers, particularly to help digestion and to improve the appetite, especially in a tea or in later times as a liqueur. In the 1540s in Alsace, anise began appearing in anise broth made especially for Christmas. It is believed that this probably was what we know as springula, or the molded anise cookie. Springula first appeared in pagan times when the poor, having no animals to sacrifice, made effigies out of cookie dough, or at least a dough. Later there appeared wooden molds, concave with shapes of animals, flowers, men and women, costumes of the time. Hearts, stars, the nativity, the flight from Egypt, and other religious scenes. Today we have the individual molds, the sheet of molds on the rolling pin. Of course, what is extremely popular at Christmas time especially is the anise drop cookie, or the Amstrudel. This little cookie was made possible when sugar started appearing in the 17th century. Eggs, of course, were already being used. This dough is dropped onto the cookie sheet and is left to dry sometimes as long as 24 hours.
It's almost the national Christmas cookie of Elsa's, and it's also popular at weddings. In August 1693, it was forbidden that any pastries could be made. Times were hard, but in December 1713, it was decreed that the bakers could again make stringola and anise brittle, along with two kinds of New Year's bread. And in 1730, in the Alsatian region, it is recorded that by decree, stringola was to be used to decorate the Christmas tree, like many families today. And these flavored cookies remained popular in the German area of Europe and were popular in the Castro colonies and now with their descendants. We found some over in France when we were there, but I think we're in the habit of making ours Texas style. They're a little bigger than what we found over there. They were hardly bigger than buttons. So I just gathered ours of Texas style. So we'll, you have some to sample before the day is over. And they don't always turn out the same way. They're two different kinds. There was a third. Is this the other one? We really feel like they're supposed to be baked and get a little ruffle on them. But they don't always come out that way. And the ones today are very hard. You might have to dunk them in your wine. And these are some of the molds. They have the different figures on them that we spoke about. I couldn't make any of those because I can't make little cookies. I've never learned to make a pie crust. So we hope you all, I think Adrian, are these ones Adrian is bringing? Adrian has another little type. I guess we have different recipes. They look a little different. Oh, okay. So we, there's those that our Alsatian relatives were kind of surprised when they came over here and we had Annie's cookies. So we usually try to fix them for them. So y'all taste them before you leave, but be sure to take something to dump them in. Thank you, Mary Bell. We all agree that Mary Bell is the best anise cookie baker in the world. I said Medina County at one time, but now I think in the world, because we have been to Elsa several times and have gone into the different bakeries and tasted their anise cookies, and really, Mary Bell, yours are the best. So thank you very much. And so next on the program is Chef Yvonne, and she's got presentation on the New Year's bread.
Let's see, thank you for inviting me to give this presentation on New Year's bread. I don't believe that I'm really an authority on it, although I remember it from when I was a very little girl, because my grandmother, at New Year's Eve, she would bring us a loaf of New Year's bread up to our house, and we always enjoyed it very much, but she would only bring one loaf. So it was, she was very stingy with it, but it was really something special when we got it. And I had, because I lived between San Antonio and Bandera, and I grew up on the ranch, I was not really familiar with the traditions that went on in Castorville or surrounding area, although my father was Alsatian, my mother was German. My mother did not make the New Year's bread, but when I married Sammy and moved to Castorville, I had a real treat in store, because so many ladies around here were making the New Year's bread. And like I say, I didn't know that it was an Alsatian tradition until I did move down here. I believe that when I got down here, I found out it was really, really something special, and it was only made at New Year's time. And my grandmother evidently had taken that tradition and had carried it up to the ranch where we live, which is about 40 miles from here. And doing the research for this, I only had to go to the cookbooks that have been published by the Castro colonies. And so I will read to you a couple of the things that they say, and because it says here that it was a custom to give this bread to your godchildren. But we live so far out in the boondocks, I guess my grandmother didn't have godchildren nearby to give them to, so she only gave them to his grandchildren. It was called a bundle, and evidently it was made like the day before, which my grandmother had done, and then given on New Year's Day. However, my grandmother would bring it the evening before, and then we had it for breakfast on New Year's Day. It says here that they started preparing it early in the day, and it being a yeast dough, I can understand. And then it says, by mid-afternoon, the grandchildren would stop by to pick it up in individual pieces, and it was designed with their initials or braided. Now, my grandmother always braided it. We did not have it in the form of wreath, but it was always braided. But I understand that people in this area, some did make wreaths and use the initials. We started making this bread at the bakery, I guess about 1974. We bought the bakery in 74, and I think it was that same Christmas that we started making it. And it's been a popular item ever since. In fact, it was so popular that we sort of hedged a bit and started making Easter bread using the same thing, only using the candied fruit in it, and sort of spread out the sales a little bit longer. But everybody just always said, when are you going to make that New Year's bread? When are you going to make that Easter bread? So that's what we've been doing. And now every year, we used to do it only a week before Christmas. We'd start making it. And now we start making it on weekends, sort of about after Thanksgiving. So we're making it on weekends now. And about the week before Christmas, we'll make it every day. Between Christmas and New Year's, every day also. But it says here that in some times, anise was a flavoring in it. I have not tasted it with anise. It also says that sometimes it contained raisins. We have always put raisins, and my grandmother had put raisins in hers. And it said some ladies brushed the bread with beaten egg, flavored with anise or bourbon. So I'm assuming that every cook added her own touch. And that made each one a little bit better. But you know, some ladies around Castorville had a reputation of having the best. It also says in here that this glaze was applied with a fresh feather from a chicken. Each cook was quite an innovative lady. So Annie's bread, I think, probably has been around a lot longer than most of us realize, and perhaps it was in the old country. I don't recall the people from Alsace saying that they've had, I mean, the people that we were with never said that they had a New Year's bread. Although, like Maribel said, they had a lot of Annie's cookies. But we certainly hope that if you do not make New Year's bread, that you might want to stop by the bakery and you might want to try it. Now,